Grace to you and peace from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The words we'll be thinking about this morning are found in Matthew chapter 10, beginning at verse 24, our gospel reading for this morning. It's on the back page of the bulletin. I would invite you to rise for the reading of the sermon text today. Jesus said, "A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the disciple to be like his teacher, and the servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household? So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the dark, say in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim from the rooftops. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. But even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge him before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven." So far, our sermon text. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, set us apart. Increase our faith by your word. Your word is truth. Amen. Please be seated. Fellow redeemed in Christ, do you remember the cartoon character Mr. Magoo? He had those big, thick glasses, and as long as he had his glasses on, he could see just fine, but the minute the glasses came off, then the shenanigans started because he couldn't see anything, but he thought he was just fine. He would wander around and he would get himself into all kinds of trouble, but he couldn't see it. And when someone would come along to try to help Mr. Magoo and his problems, well, while he would sort of mutter under his breath about how impolite they were and how they couldn't see anything, and that was kind of the running joke in the cartoon. Seeing blindly. That's the way of this world. Like Mr. Magoo, bumbling along, getting into all sorts of problems, oblivious to what's going on. But unlike the cartoon, all does not end well. Could the Jews, could they not see that Jesus was the Son of God? Couldn't the Gentiles, those who were not Jews, couldn't they tell that he was innocent? They had seen and heard of his miracles. They had heard his preaching. They even got to see his resurrection that proved that this man, Jesus, was not just a man, but God in the flesh. They saw, but they were seeing blindly. Jesus had come to rescue them from their dangerous path, and yet they pushed him aside like Mr. Magoo, and they muttered under their breath, and even worse, about how impolite he was. They called him a name, Beelzebul. That's a name that's reserved for the devil. These Mr. Magoos were seeing blindly when they spoke against him, and when they persecuted him, and when they arrested him and tortured him and killed him on the cross, all for saying to them these horrible words. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Such a good message, but when they heard it, it grated on their nerves like fingers on a chalkboard, fingernails on a chalkboard, and they were angry at him. They were the ones walking on the path that leads to destruction, and Jesus was the one calling them to safety, but they saw only blindly, like Mr. Magoo. Ever since Adam and Eve disobeyed God, that's what it's been like for the human race. It's been an inescapable part of what we are like as human beings. Most of us are born with eyes that can see things. We see the things of this world and we desire them. We reach out and pluck them like fruit from a tree. But what about spiritual things? We see blindly. We fail to do what we know is right. We do all sorts of things that we know are wrong. And should someone draw attention to our sins against God, even in a gentle way, even in private, why, we mutter under our breath at the very least and think them impolite or obnoxious or even worse. Sometimes we can easily see this magoo in ourselves. Sometimes we see it when we think about evangelism, when we think about our blessed fellowship. The context of our sermon text today is that Jesus was sending out his disciples to preach the good news. These men had seen Jesus with their own eyes. They had been learning from him, and yet still that Mr. Magoo nature was in them. They were fearful. Their hearts were filled with doubts. They struggled to figure out how they were going to handle the peer pressure and the persecution that they expected when they proclaimed the message of the Savior. We too have been commissioned and sent out to preach the good news to all creation, like it says at the end of Mark's gospel. Shouldn't it be easy? After all, God is the one who stands behind that work, isn't he? Isn't it true that, like the apostles, we too find it difficult at times, often? Maybe even the majority of the time, we find it difficult to open our mouths and talk about Jesus to people who don't know him. How many of us have spoken about the Savior to an acquaintance or a friend or a relative this past week? These people that we Christians live with, why, they're walking about like Mr. Magoo, seeing blindly, comfortable now, maybe even convinced that everything's going to be just fine. And yet we know they're on the path to destruction without the Savior. And the least that we can do to help them is tell them about Jesus. But there's that fear in us, that doubt. Do I really know? Do I really understand God's will? Well, I say, yes, you do. You have heard what Jesus has to say. He says, so do not be afraid of them. There's nothing concealed that will not be disclosed or hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight, and what is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the rooftops. But what will people say about me? What will they think about me? What will they do to me? To that, Jesus says, do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. And that sounds almost like a threat until you read the next sentence. So don't disconnect these sentences. Jesus goes on. He says, are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of your Father, and even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Jesus is reminding you that God is your heavenly Father and that He loves you very, very much and that He's in control of everything. He's not going to let eternal harm come to you. Sure, you sometimes may have to endure ridicule like your master, your teacher, Jesus. You're bringing the same message that He brought to those people 2,000 years ago, that eternal message that God is merciful, that He's gracious and loving and kind. You're bringing that same message that those people reacted to so violently back then. So you should expect that things are not always going to go so well and that you might have to endure some persecution. But think about why you're doing it. It's the same reason why Jesus endured the cross for us, to bring that good news to us and to seal salvation unto us. The early Christians had to endure more than a little ridicule. Some of them had to die for their faith. And yet, where are they now? They're no longer in the hands of Magoo. They are in heaven above, where there are no more tears, no more sorrows, no more pain. But will they take me seriously? That's another objection that comes up in our hearts. Are they going to listen? Will my boss, will he still give me that raise if I tell him and talk to him about what I believe? Are the things that I learned at church, are they really the only truth? And how are people going to react to that when I talk that way? Dear Christians, listen to His word. Hear what He says. It will give you sight to see. Listen, and you won't be seeing blindly anymore. But don't expect to see with these eyes or fully understand and figure it out with this mind of yours. You're going to strain to see how this is all going to work out. You'll strain to see with these eyes. You'll strive to understand with this mind, but sometimes it won't make any sense at all. And so often this is how God will let you see. You will see that by your own abilities, by your own reasoning and strength, you can't see the truth. You can't speak it rightly. There's still too much Magoo in our hearts. But God, in His great mercy, has sent His Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, to be with us and to be in our hearts and to change us and to kindle in us the fire of His holy love so that we speak not with our own words, but with His words. So that we speak not with the weak misunderstandings of our minds, but with the truth and with that mighty power of God Himself. Think about that. Think about the love that He has put into your hearts so that you want to proclaim Jesus. You want to proclaim that God has saved us from that path that leads to destruction. You are equipped to tell about Jesus. You are prepared for some of those hard decisions that we Christians sometimes are called upon to make. In our text, Jesus calls these a sword because it's sharp. His word can be used both to strike and to defend. We must defend ourselves with His word against those who are not on the side of mercy and love, even if those people end up being father or mother or son or daughter. And of course, not with bloodshed. Not by causing them pain, but by deciding sharply, decisively, when necessary, to follow the Bible and what God has to say. And by demonstrating Christ's patient love in the face of that persecution. We must also strike against the devil and the world and our sinful flesh with this sword of the Spirit, making those hard decisions to follow righteousness and to turn away from the sinful path. We can't do these things rightly ourselves. We don't have the strength to do it, but God works with us to produce these good works in our hearts. That's what the Spirit is doing among us. That's why He's with us. He teaches and helps us, and He knows our difficulties. Jesus lived our difficulties. He's one of us. He sympathizes with us in our every need, and yet He is also God, who is in control of all things. Dear brothers and sisters, we're not called upon to see blindly and to blunder about like Mr. Magoo without a purpose or a plan, without really seeing what's going on. We're God's children. He's given us the truth. We have a purpose, and it's a good one. We have holy baptism. We have the body and blood of Jesus for the remission of our sins. We can't figure out all of that. We can't see how that can be so powerful. And yet God proclaims its power to us. He lets us see, not with these eyes or with this mind, but by faith, that His Word, and His Spirit working in our hearts is what is powerful. We don't need to be afraid to speak about Jesus. Our hearts are going to throw up all kinds of roadblocks, but we don't need to fear. God is with us. God Himself has sent us on this mission in this world. So let us speak up about this forgiveness and this life and salvation that Jesus won for us. Let us be bold. God will do the talking. He promises. And finally, let us go out today in the peace of forgiveness, loving one another, loving the lost souls around us, and we will certainly not lose our reward because we already have it. Jesus loved us and died for us, and He forgives us all our sins. To Him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Please rise. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all our understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto everlasting life. Amen.